الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Surah Al-Kahf is a virtuous surah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had indicated in many narrations that reciting it on a Friday will bring about some benefits. Among them is that light will illuminate for you from the earth all the way to the heavens. In another narration, Allah will forgive you the sins of a week plus 3 days, that's 10 days. Some of the narrations indicate that you should read it in the morning, wa alaykum salam, that Friday the day, and other narrations indicate that you should read it Friday the night, which means in our case, Thursday night. Because Islamically we said the night comes before the day. Whichever one it is, the stronger narration is the one that deals with the morning. So from Fajr all the way until Maghrib today, from this Fajr until Maghrib is all the time that you have to recite Surah Al-Kahf. It does not have to be recited continuously, as long as you get Wa'alaikum Salam, as long as you get the whole thing recited within the end before Maghrib, then inshallah Wa'alaikum Salam, you will attain the virtue promised in the narration. On these premises, you know, we did do the tafsir, and today inshallah we'll be dealing with verses 1 to 4 or even more than that if Allah gives us the chance to do so. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا. وعليكم السلام. أهلا أهلا. One of the brothers can kindly aid us by reciting the verses in English or the interpretation of the meaning in English, verses 1 to 6 actually, please. Mustanera?
All praise and thanks to Allah, who has sent down to his slave Muhammad the Book of Quran, and has not failed your living improvement. He has made his strength to give warning to this believer of a severe punishment from him, and to give glad tidings to lead to the believers in the warnings of Allah Islamic Monadism. Who do righteous deeds that they shall have a fair reward in paradise? They shall abide for their end forever. And to warn them, the Jews, Christians, and pagans, who say, Allah has begotten son of offspring or children. No knowledge have they of such a things, nor have their fathers. Mighty is the word that comes out of their mouths. He begot sons and daughters. They utter nothing but a lie. Perhaps you would kill yourself and Muhammad in the over their footsteps, for they are turning away from you because they believe not in this generation.
Barakallahu feek. Jazakallahu khairan, Mr. Khalid. يقول الشيخ رحمة الله عليه: الحمد لله والثناء عليه بصفاته التي هي كلها صفات كمال، وبنعمه الظاهرة والباطنة الدينية والدنيوية. Praising Allah is saying Alhamdulillah is praising Allah for His beautiful and perfect attributes that He possesses, and for His abundant favors that He has upon His creation, both those that are evident and those that are not. Meaning, Allah may bestow a favor upon one of us without us knowing. A calamity that was, you know, perhaps was to befall on someone, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes that, and you never know that calamity was going to happen to begin with. So this is among the favors of Allah which we may not really recognize, but are continuously being given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both the religious and the worldly related affairs, you know, all the ni'am, whether for making you a Muslim or a believer and a believer, or for giving you wealth and children, whatever it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَجَلُّ نِعَمِهِ عَلَى إِطْلَاقِ إِنْزَالِهِ الْكِتَابِ الْعَظِيمِ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And the best of his bounties, in the ultimate sense, without a doubt, is descending down of the book upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his servant and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَحَمِدَ نَفْسَهُ وَفِي ضِمْنِهِ وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ إِرْشَادُ الْعِبَادِ لِيَحْمَدُوهُ عَلَى إِرْسَالِ الرَّسُولِ إِلَيْهِمْ وَإِنْزَالِ الْكِتَابِ عَلَيْهِمْ. So Allah praised himself, and there's an indirect indication here that you should also praise him, because Allah praised himself, meaning it's a hint for us to praise him for sending the messenger to us, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and for sending down the book with him also. So these are two great bounties that we the Muslims possess, which actually favors the Muslims over the rest of the nations and the rest of the prophets and their followers, be it Jesus and his followers, or Moses and his followers, or Abraham and his followers, and what have you. The Muslims actually are of a higher status than the rest of them, because the best of the books was sent down to the Muslims, which is the Quran, and the best messenger was sent, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that makes it more incumbent on us to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praising him accordingly. ثم وصف هذا الكتاب بوصفين مشتملين على أنه الكامل من جميع الوجوه وهما نفي العوج عنه. Then Allah described this book with two qualities that indicate that this book is perfect in every way. This book is perfect in every way. The first quality is that Allah negated crookedness. There's no crookedness therein, in this particular book. Allah negated crookedness, and we said, crookedness is that which will take you away from the path. If the path is crooked, meaning you're not going on a straight path, meaning there will be difficulty, there'll be hardship, there'll be trials and temptations, because you'll be coming across things that you're not supposed to come across. Had you remain on a straight path, then your traveling will be much more safe and easy. That's the first thing. وَإِثْبَاتُ أَنَّهُ قَيِّمٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Then Allah confirmed that it's a qayyim, it's honorable, it's valuable, مستقيم, straight, this Qur'an. There's no crookedness in it. Furthermore, it is straight. فَنَفِي الْعِوَجْ يَقْضَذِي أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِي أَخْبَارِهِ كَذِبٌ. The Shaykh interpreted in this way, he said, negating crookedness indicates that there are no lies or fabrications in the information, the news that you get from the Quran pertaining to the previous nations or to the prophecies that will take place in the future, such as even the events of the Day of Judgment as described in the Quran, you know, the affair of the people of Jannah and the affair of the people of Jahannam. These are all akhbar, information, news that Allah has given us. لا عوج فيه. There's no crookedness in it, this book. That means that all of the information, there's no lies in it either. ولا في أوامره ونواهيه ظلم ولا عبث. And there are no in the commandments and the prohibitions, there's no also nothing in vain. No, you know, unimportant commands or something that is just for the sake of playing. Everything is there for wisdom, for a great wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about, even if it may not be evident to us. وَأَثْبَاتُ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ يَقْتَدِي أَنَّهُ لَا يُخْبِرُ وَلَا يَأْمُرُ إِلَّا بِأَجَلِّ الْإِخْبَارَاتِ. Then confirming the fact that this book is straight indicates that this book will not command anything except that it is the best of commands. And it will not give you any news except that it is the most valuable and authentic of news, unlike what you see on TV today. وَهِيَ الْأَخْبَارُ الَّتِي تَمْلَأُ الْقُلُوبَ مَعْرِفَةً وَإِيمَانًا وَعَقْلًا. And it is the kind of information that fills your heart with faith and with understanding. كالإخبار بأسماء الله وصفاته وأفعاله. Such as speaking of Allah's names and attributes and actions. ومنها الغيوب المتقدمة والمتأخرة. Included also are the unseen, that which has, you know, passed already, and that which will be coming in the future. وأن أوامره ونواهيه تزكي النفوس وتطهرها وتنميها وتكملها. And every commandment in the Quran, every commandment in the Quran and every prohibition in the Quran, its main objective is to purify the soul, to purify the soul and to make it grow, for growing and nurturing. It's like nurturing the soul and the understanding and the intellect and the iman. And it perfects it. لاشتماله على كمال العدل والقسط, because it contains the ultimate justice in the Quran that Allah has sent down. والإخلاص and sincerity. والعبودية لله رب العالمين and servitude to Allah, the Lord of everything. وحده لا شريك له, alone with no partners. وحقيق بكتاب موصوف بما ذكر أن يحمد الله نفسه على إنزاله وأن يتمدح إلى عباده به. He said, it is deserving for a book that is described in this particular fashion for Allah to praise Himself عز وجل for sending it, and that He informs His servants about that particular thing. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. وقوله لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدن, أي لينذر بهذا القرآن الكريم عقابه الذي عنده, أي قدره وقضى على من خالف أمره. In order to warn with this glorious Quran, this great Quran, his punishment, the punishment that is with Allah, that he has decreed and ordained, the punishment that is with Allah which he has decreed and ordained, على من خالف أمره, to he who opposes his command. To he who opposes the command of Allah. Yeah. So that is the punishment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has ordained and decreed to he who disobeys His command. وَهَذَا يَشْمَلُ عِقَابُ الدُّنْيَا وَعِقَابُ الْآخِرَةِ, and this includes both the punishment of the dunya, this life of this world, and the punishment of the hereafter. وَهَذَا أَيْضًا مِنْ نِعَمِهِ أَنْ خَوَّفِ عِبَادَةِ, this is actually also from the bounties of Allah that He had struck fear in the hearts of His servants. Yani Allah frightens you with the punishment prepared for you to stop. If that wasn't the case, maybe you will continue to do it. And to give you a worthy example with the children. Now if you tell a child, you know, don't touch the stove, okay, when we're baking some you know, cake. And he may not necessarily, you know, buy it. He'll just say whatever. He'll just go and touch it until he burns himself. Right? But if you were to show him, illustrate that, you know, if you were to touch it, you would burn yourself, and you give him some pictures of someone's hand who's burned, then what would that do to the child? He will no longer go near the stove, because in his understanding, this is the result. So he becomes scared of that happening to him, and he will not even touch the stove. So similarly, and more so in the case with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this describe Jahannam, the hellfire, the severe punishment of the people in the hellfire, you know, and all these things for us to become afraid. They will say, okay, I don't want to do the things that will lead me to Jahannam because I'm afraid of Jahannam. And that's what you're supposed to be. If you're not afraid of Jahannam, then you're a tough man in the wrong field. You know, you're a tough man in the wrong field. Because if you're a real man, you'll be afraid of Jahannam. Because that, not only there's Jahannam punishment, physical punishment, there's the mental punishment of being distant from Allah, being deprived of the mercy of Allah, not being in the paradise that Allah has prepared for the righteous. That, you know, is usually yani, not a very good thing. Not a very good thing at all. So in essence then, this is mercy from Allah that He has frightened us with some of the punishments that He mentioned in the Qur'an. نعم. وَأَنذَرَهُمْ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَيُهْلِكَهُمْ, and Allah warned us against that which will destroy us and that which will you know, exterminate us. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى لَمَّا ذَكَرَ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَصْفَ النَّارِ قَالَ ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادُهُ عَفْوًا عِبَادَهُ يَا عِبَادِي فَاتَّقُونَ. In another ayah in the Quran, when Allah mentioned the Jahannam, the hellfire, He said that Allah uses to frighten His slaves. So all my slaves have taqwa of me. Straight up Allah told us this in the Quran. That Allah has given us these descriptions of the hellfire in order to frighten you. So all my servants have fear. You know, act accordingly. Act according to this warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نعم. فمن رحمته بعباده أن قيد العقوبات الغليظة على من خالف أمره. So part of the mercy of Allah is that He had ordained these severe punishments for those who disobey His command. وبينها لهم, and He clarified it for them. وبين لهم الأسباب الموصلة إليها, and he told them the things that will lead them to that punishment, so you will avoid that path. He told you what are the things that you will do that will lead you to Jahannam, and so because you know these things, you don't do them. And naturally, you will avoid these things that you know will lead you to the hellfire. وعياذ بالله. طيب. ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا. أي وأنزل الله على عبده الكتاب ليبشر المؤمنين به وبرسله وكتبه الذين كمل إيمانهم فأوجب لهم العمل الصالحات وهي الأعمال وأوجب لهم عمل الصالحات وهي الأعمال الصالحة من واجب ومستحب التي جمعت الإخلاص والمتابعة. This is very fundamental now. The Shaykh said, and he also sent down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down his book upon his servant, first to warn the disbelievers from a severe punishment from him, and then for now for the believers to give him glad tidings. To give him glad tidings. Those who believe in him, his messengers and his books, those whose iman has reached perfection, their iman is complete, and that necessitates doing righteous deeds. Because the iman is sound, then the righteous deeds are a byproduct, a natural consequence of your iman. Similarly, if you see someone not praying, not doing the acts of worship, and then he talks about, Wallah, I'm a believer, belief is in my heart, you know, I have a clean, pure heart, then you know that this person is lying. Or he has been fooled to such an extent by shaitan that he really believes that he is, you know, rightly guided, and he is not. Because all of the verses in the Quran and the narrations from the Prophet peace be upon him indicate that if your heart was sound, then your body would be sound. So your act of worship would be established accordingly. But to say as many born Muslims, and the new Muslims may not have this particular disease, born Muslims usually have that disease. You know, you see a brother, he doesn't pray, he doesn't fast, he doesn't do anything of Islam. You tell him, no, why don't you do acts of worship? He says, look, iman is here. Faith is in my heart. I have more faith than you. You hear some people, you know, they go up. I have more faith than you and your whole family. I believe I have taqwa of Allah. Yes, sir. Pray tayyib once a day. Pray twice a day. Mati salah. But he really believes that he has more iman than you. Although there are no righteous deeds. So this is a very common misconception. It must be clarified to these individuals that Allah said otherwise. Allah says, والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. You must have these four for you to be outside of the loss that Allah promised. Allah swore by the passage of time, every human being is in loss, definitely losing, except those who believe and do righteous deeds. And they enjoin and help one another in terms of truth and in patience. So once you lack one of these four, you're not really in the state of success. So then, يعني عمل عمل الصالحات, doing righteous deeds is just natural, a natural byproduct of you believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh said, righteous deeds are whatever is compulsory, you know, like the five daily prayers or fasting the month of Ramadan or something like that. ومستحب, that which is recommended or voluntary, such as the you know, the voluntary prayers before the obligatory prayers, and fasting on Mondays and Thursdays and 3 days of each month, and other days that have been mentioned in the Quran, the Sunnah, and other acts of worship that are simply recommended and not obligatory. التي جمعت الإخلاص والمتابعة. And these are the two conditions for your act of worship to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first condition, it must be for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of people. If it is for the sake of Allah, or even and for the sake of people, it will not be accepted. Pay attention now, this is very sensitive, because if we don't know this, we will be falling into shirk all of our lives. When you do an act of worship, whatever it is, it must be strictly for the sake of Allah only, not for the sake of Allah and for the people to praise you, and for the people to admire you, or for the people to say, oh mashallah, you know, blah blah blah. If you have that intention in your heart while doing this act of worship, then that act of worship is void, invalid, stamped, it will not be accepted. Because of the hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ مَعْيَ غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ. Allah says, I am the most self-sufficient of having any partners
Whoever does an act of worship, seeking my pleasure and the pleasure of someone else, I will abandon him and that act of worship. Allah will not accept it unless it is strictly for the sake of Allah. So be careful when they have a Quran competition, for example here or elsewhere, and a brother will come on the stage trying to recite the Quran for the people to say, oh mashallah, no Muslim memorized Surah Al whatever in such a short time. Oh mashallah, what a, you know, if that intention is present in the heart, then you need to clean it out before you get on stage. And make sure that time you recite on the Quran is simply to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're doing this act of worship for the sake of Allah. And this includes everything. Every act of worship, it must be sincerely for the sake of Allah. That's the first condition. The second condition, it must be according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There are no innovations in Islam. You cannot introduce a new way of worshiping Allah and say, well, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah, so Allah will accept this act of worship from me. No. Unless you are following the way that was established by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, then your act of worship is also void, invalid, and in vain. So you cannot come and say, well, I believe that, you know, brothers, we brothers should love each other more, so we will celebrate a day called Brothers' Day. Okay, you know, like the kuffar, every day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Labor's Day, Monkey's Day, Elephant's Day, every day they come with a day. Every day is a day for something at the end of the day, just so they will not go to work. So they just come up with a new holiday. Anyways, so some brother says, you know, I think, you know, we Muslims need to love each other more. There isn't enough love, you know. We're having a lot of differences. Why don't we make something called Brother's Day? Once a year we all come together and we show our brotherly love for one another, right? And we're doing this for the sake of Allah. We will say, no. Did the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ do that? Did he celebrate Brother's Day? He didn't celebrate Brother's Day. No Brother's Day is for you. You know, because now you're trying to worship Allah according to something He did not want you to do. If Allah wanted us to have Brother's Day, that would have been revealed during the time of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He would have conveyed it to his companions, they would have conveyed it to us, and Brother's Day would have been part of Islam. You cannot miss it. But the fact that that didn't happen, and the religion has been perfected and completed, then no one can come and inject his own opinion, talking about, well, you know, I think this is, you know, good now with the new environment and blah blah blah. You see? Because this is what happened with the previous religions, so much so that the innovation made it to the point that they lost their religion. The very religion that the messenger brought was gone. And it was replaced with a whole new, brand new, innovative religion. The religion of Jesus was Islam. The religion of Jesus was Tawheed. The religion of Jesus was that similar to what we have today, praying and fasting and everything. All that has been replaced with innovations. Now they go to church and they eat the flesh of God and they drink the blood of God and they do, you know, a bunch of kung fu moves, you know, with their hands, and they carry statues and, you know, blah blah. What happened, man? Where is Jesus from all that? When did Jesus do all that? You will not find any references to these things. But anytime they came up with a new idea, Allah, come on, let's just, you know, let's put this into the religion. So, you know, they continued to innovate until there was nothing left from the religion of God. It became the religion of men. And so Allah sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, so this will not happen again. This cannot happen in Islam. There will always remain a group of people upon the truth, living the Quran and the Sunnah. No matter how many people innovate into Islam, which is happening, it will never reach a point where Islam will be eliminated and then it will be only innovations. That will not happen. Islam will ever be available for those who seek guidance. Yes, people will innovate, but there's always the opposing truth available for someone who looks, you know, who seeks to find it. Now, so these are the two conditions of the act of worship. Now what is that? What do they get in return? What are the glad tidings for? أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا أَنَّ لَهُمْ, that they will have أَجْرًا, reward, حَسَنًا, good. وَهُوَ الثَّوَابُ الَّذِي رَتَّبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَالْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ. And it is the reward that Allah has that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, يعني, the consequence of your iman and your righteous deeds. It's your payment for your iman and your righteous deeds. وَأَعْظَمَهُ وَأَجَلَّهُ الْفَوْزُ بِرِضَ اللَّهِ وَدُقُولِ الْجَنَّةِ. And the best of that, the ultimate, يعني, the ultimate reward that you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you attain Allah's pleasure. You know, Allah becomes pleased with you where he never becomes upset with you or displeased with you ever again, as it comes in a hadith in the, when the people of Jannah enter Jannah. We were doing this actually the khutbah translation, and the brother, he was mentioning these narrations, that after the people of Jannah enter Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them, is there anything that you want? You know, do you want anything? They say, what else do we want? Well, we have everything we want. You know, you've given us what you have not given anyone else before. Then Allah will say, shall I not give you my pleasure? I will grant you my pleasure, so I will never be displeased with you again. And so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become pleased with them, and He will never be displeased with them again. And so here, the best thing that you can get as a reward for your good deeds is Allah's pleasure. Allah being pleased with you, both in this life and then after you in the life to come, inshaAllah. And وَدُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ, and entering Jannah, being permitted to paradise. الَّتِي فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. The Jannah which has what no eye has ever seen, what no ear has ever heard, and that which has never come across a human's mind. This is what Jannah has. You've never seen it. Whatever you've seen of beautiful scenery in this world, sometimes you see some very nice waterfall and some, you know, nice plants in the background, you know, or some animals, some beautiful creation of Allah. The Jannah is something you've never seen. You may have heard some beautiful voices and beautiful things and sounds. Jannah has that which you've never heard. And then more serious than all that is that which you have never thought of. Yani, no matter how hard you strive to imagine, you can never imagine what Allah has prepared for the righteous believers in Jannah. If you spend your whole life imagining, from now until you die, all of your imagination is in vain. Because you cannot. Allah says that it has never come across a human's mind. Never. You can never think of it. So that, yani, that's a big victory, man. That's a very big victory. Alhamdulillah. But you know, it's within reach. But how often do we turn away from it? Wa alaykum salam. How often do we reject Jannah? Huh? Very often. Very often Muslims reject Jannah. Whether old Muslims or new Muslims or 50-50 medium Muslims, every Muslim. And that happens when you disobey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he said, all of my ummah will enter Jannah. All of my ummah, all of my nation will enter paradise. Except those who refuse. They said, who will refuse? Who will refuse to enter paradise? Somebody is inviting you to paradise. Will you refuse? Wa alaykum salam. They said, the companions, who will refuse, O Messenger of Allah? He said, whoever obeys me will enter Jannah. Whoever obeys me will enter Jannah. And whoever disobeys me has refused. So then, when one of us disobeys him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding any aspect of the deen, then he is automatically qualifying himself to be among those who refuse paradise. Although it is within reach, easy for those whom Allah makes it easy for. Those who believe and they do righteous deeds. Those who obey Allah and His Messenger inwardly and outwardly regarding every aspect of life to the best of their abilities. So inshallah we will strive to be among those. وَفِي وَصْفِهِ بِالْحُسْنِ دَلَالَةٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ لَا مُكَدِّرٌ فِيهِ وَلَا مُنْغِسْ وَبِوَجْهِ مِنَ الْوُجُوهِ إِذْ لَوُجْدَ فِيهِ شَيْءٌ مِّنْ ذَلِكْ لَمْ يَكُنْ حَسْنُهُ دَامًا. The Shaykh said, the fact that Allah called that reward Hasan, which is good, that indicates that there's nothing that will ruin that. There's nothing that will destroy that goodness. Because if there was something that will something that is not really good, something that is bad in a sense, then it wouldn't be befitting to call it good. So when it says good, meaning it's good in the ultimate sense, there's absolutely nothing that will change that. ومع ذلك فهم فهذا الأجر الحسن ماكثين فيه أبدا. With that reward, the Shaykh said, with that good reward, ماكثين فيه أبدا, they will abide therein eternally. أيوة, لا يزول عنهم ولا يزولون عنه. It will not go away from them and they will not go away from it. بل نعيمهم في كل وقت متزايد. Nay, but their the bounty and the delight will continue to increase. Meaning from the moment you enter paradise, you will not be consistent in what you will be getting. You will continue to increase for eternity. And in narration it comes that on Friday, today in this life we have Friday, Jumu'ah. But in Jannah there's a souk, a marketplace, not Danub, not Arraya, rather, or not the Hyper Panda, call it here Banda, whatever. It's a souk called the souk of Friday, where the believers will go on that particular day to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they do so, they will increase, their beauty will increase. Yeah, you go, you're already going to be very handsome, regardless of how we look today. When you go there, you're going to get even better looking. Then you will go back to your females, you know, the women that Allah has prepared for you, and you will see that they have also become prettier. So they will say, oh, mashallah, you look better than when you left. And you say, oh, mashallah, you also look better than, you know, when I left. And that is every Friday. So, you know, you can imagine for eternity, things will be getting good. So, you know, this is all given, yani, just to believe in Allah and His oneness and don't ascribe any foreigners with Him. And then you do the good deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obliged us to do. And then we'll be the winners. At the end of the day, this is a win-win situation for the believer. Allah is self-sufficient. Allah is not in need of our worship. Allah is not get His majesty is not magnified or increased by me and you being servants to Him. Rather, we are the ones benefiting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani, the self-sufficient. He doesn't need any of that. But out of His mercy, He gave us these opportunities and these rewards, so we may be the ones who will be victorious at the end of the day. وفي ذكر التبشير ما يقتضي ذكر الأعمال الموجبة للمبشر به وهو أن هذا القرآن اشتمل على كل عمل صالح موصل لما تستبشر به النفوس وتفرح به الأرواح. And while mentioning the glad tidings, it becomes necessary to mention the acts of worship which will necessitate that which is being given as glad tidings. And it is in the Qur'an, because the Qur'an commands you to do every righteous deed. Every righteous deed has been commanded in the Qur'an. It will lead you to that which the souls seek from, you know, the glad tidings that were given, and that which will bring delight to your soul. وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, and to warn those who say that Allah has begotten a son. And this is to the Christians the easiest statement in the world. Blasphemy, but in their case it is not. It is really a very dangerous thing to say. As Allah mentioned in Surah Maryam, that statement is so dangerous. تكاد السماوات يتفطرن منه وتنشق الأرض وتخر الجبال هدا أن دعوا للرحمن ولدا. That statement is so grave, so outrageous, that Allah says the heavens are about to split asunder, and the earth is about to split open, and the mountains are about to fall in ruin out of devastation, because they say that Allah has begotten a son. It's a big deal. If Allah did not keep all of these intact, then the whole universe will explode, because some human beings came and said, Allah has a son, begotten son, you know, which means biological. That's what begotten means. Don't misunderstand. Anything else they say is nonsense. Begotten means biological, not in the sense of metaphorical. As, you know, the brother older than me says, my son, can you hand me the coffee? Now nobody thinks that I'm a son. It is understood that an older will speak to the younger by addressing him in this fashion. But if he was to tell you, this is my begotten son, what does that mean? I'm a son, man. Case closed. So these people, not only if they said son, أَفِي مُشْكِلَةً, because it may be metaphorical, as it is the case with Ephraim and Israel and all the others that were mentioned to be sons of God, meaning righteous people, people that were God conscious. You know, we will find an interpretation, an outlet for it. But when you say begotten son, you are taking all that away. Then you're trying to emphasize something that deals with, you know, relationship. Even if they deny it in some way, the reality is otherwise, because that's what the word means. And you cannot use a word and say, but I don't want that meaning. Begotten means that. So, you know, they say Allah has begotten a son. And this is a dangerous claim. that, as I mentioned to you earlier, that's why we must educate the Christians about this, the reality of this statement, because very often they don't know. They don't know that this is not okay. So when you present to them the Quranic verses dealing with the dangers of saying that, then biblical verses which affirm it as well, the fact that Jesus was not calling to that kind of belief system, and that he was a believer, he was a muwahid, he was one who was, you know, establishing the unity in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling to the worship of Allah in His oneness, as it is in the case in the Ten Commandments, then they may change their ways. They may change their ways and they may embrace Islam, because they will find that the only religion which truly exalts Allah and magnifies Him in the manner that befits His majesty is Islam. And every other religion somehow or some way degrades Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attributes to Him human characteristics, or claims that Allah is like His creation, or that Allah became incarnated in some human being, or any of the other philosophical ideologies that are strongly opposed by the Islamic doctrine. So that is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, because the story of Surah Al-Kahf is very interesting, but the time will not allow us to elaborate on that. Anyways, so Allah is warning those who say that Allah has begotten a son, such as the Jews who said Al-Uzair is the son of Allah, some of them, not all of them, and the Christians say Jesus is the son of God. Well, mushrikeen and the polytheists who say the angels are the children of Allah, قالوا هذه المقالة الشنيعة, they said this outrageous statement. فإنهم لم يقولوها عن علم ولا يقين. The Shaykh said because they do not say it based on knowledge or certainty. They don't have any knowledge or certainty. لا علم منهم ولا علم من أبائهم الذين قلدوهم واتبعوهم. They themselves have no knowledge, nor do their forefathers, whom the children only follow and they imitate, they blindly follow. They have no knowledge of what they're saying. بل إن يتبعون إلا الظن وما تهوى الأنفس. Nay, they only follow conjunctures and that which the souls desire. They only follow in their whims and desires. And you have a discussion with the average Christian. Grab any Christian from the street and try to get the understanding that he has about the Trinity or Jesus, and you will find out that 99% of them don't know anything. He will not be able to explain to you, because he himself does not understand. Remember Khalid, the guy that went with us during the basketball game? He's a churchgoer and all that. He said, I have to ask my priest. Every time I ask him something, I have to ask my priest. How are you going to get salvation, man, if you have to ask your priest about that? We're asking you some basic ideas, basic things that you should be able to explain to me if you are upon the truth. You don't know anything. He doesn't know anything. And this is what you will get. The average person does not know that really what is intended by the Son of God, or they just follow whatever has been told to them. Jesus is the Son of God, so they say Jesus is the Son of God, without really thinking about what they say. They don't have firm knowledge, and knowledge is based on textual evidences. They don't have any evidence to prove to you, and they don't have any certainty. It is doubt, just as Allah described them in the Quran. They only follow guessing. They only follow guessing. So this is the majority of them. The other group are those who are no, but they don't want to give up their worldly positions in order to follow the truth. They like the position that they have, being in charge of other people, so they deliberately go against the truth in order to maintain their worldly status. Not because, they really believe that whatever they're teaching is correct. Now, كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم أي عظمت شناعتها واشتدت عقوبتها. يعني outrageous, great is the word that comes out of their mouth. The Shaykh said this is outrageous, outlandish statement, and the punishment will also be severe accordingly. وأي شناعة أعظم من وصفه بالاتخاذ للولد. And what claim is worse, is more ugly, or more unacceptable than saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has begotten a son, الَّذِي يَقْتَدِي نَقْصَهِ, because that entails deficiency. When you say that Allah has begotten a son, that entails deficiency, meaning Allah needed to do something, which is what the Christians affirm, that God, after realizing that the children of Adam continue to sin, and it says in Genesis that He became sorry, He regrets that He created Adam. That's what it says in the Bible. God regrets, that He created the humans, and it grieved Him to His heart. Then He realized, أعوذ بالله, حَشَ لِلَّهِ. Then He realized that, oh, these guys, man, they keep sinning. What are these human beings? Okay, I must send my son. Look, this is deficiency. You see? This is weakness. This is making a God just like the one, a regular person. Doing something not knowing the outcome of it, you know? You bring children, you say, oh man, I don't know children are going to be so bad. I should have just, you know, stayed with no children. Maybe you will do that. But can you say that God does not know what the human beings will do, although He's the creator of everything? This is crazy. But that's what they accuse Him of. Then they say that He had to get His son killed in order to make up for the sin that has multiplied that He could not forgive. Another deficiency that they are attributing to God, that He could not forgive. And it blood must have been shed in order to pay for that. So then a son of God was killed. All these are weaknesses they're attributing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is in need of nothing. And is so self-sufficient that the case is not as such. If Allah wanted to forgive His creation, He would have, and He did. He forgave Adam and Eve. Case closed. That's it. So you know, that's what it entails. When you know what it entails, you know why it is dangerous to say that. Because they are attributing to Allah deficiency, weakness, inability, you know, things that you may, even your father may not accept. If you were accused of that, he would say, hey, shame on you young man, I'm your father here. But to God, may mafi mushkila. God, yeah, He was regretful, He was sorry He created Adam, He had to kill His son, He didn't know that humans will do all this. All kinds of different things that they attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Bible, which is not the book of Allah. The Quran is the book of Allah. Hey. ومشاركة غيره له في خصائص الربوبية والإلهية والكذب عليه. Furthermore, it entails that others among the creation of Allah share with Allah the qualities of His lordship and the qualities of Him being the only one who deserves to be worshipped, and belying against Him and lying against Him, fabricating lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. So who is more oppressive than he who fabricates lies against Allah? No one. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ هُنَا إِن يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. They only say lies. They're only saying lies. أَيْ كَذِبًا مَحْضًا مَا فِيهِ مِنَ الصِّدْقِ شَيْءٍ. Pure lying that has nothing of truth. Not even 0.001% of truth that they say that Allah has begotten a son. وتأمل كيف أبطل هذا القول بالتدريج والانتقال من شيء إلى أبطل منه. He says, reflect on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually refuted them, beginning from that which is false into that which is even more containing more falsehood. فأخبر أولا أن ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم. First he said, they have no knowledge of that, nor do their forefathers. طيب. والقول على الله بلا علم لا شك في منعه وبطلانه. Speaking about Allah without knowledge is something that is inevitably prohibited and false. ثم أخبر ثانيا, then he mentioned secondly, أنه قول قبيح شنيع, that it is an ugly, unacceptable statement to say. فقال كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم. Great is the word that comes out of their mouth. ثم ذكر ثالثا, and he mentioned thirdly the level of this, يعني that statement, وهو الكذب المنافي للصدق, and it is lying which negates being truthful. So first it was in gradual. First, they don't have any knowledge of that, nor do their forefathers. Second, it is a great claim that they're saying. Third, that claim is nothing but lies and has absolutely no truth. ولما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حريصا على هداية الخلق ساعيا في ذلك أعظم السعي فكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يفرح ويسر بهداية المهتدين. Now, when the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was very keen on the guidance that he wanted to present to the creation, he would strive in every way possible in order to guide people to the truth. And he, alayhi salatu wasalam, used to be happy and contented whenever someone is guided. Whenever a person embraces Islam, he, alayhi salatu wasalam, used to be very happy that someone has embraced the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is now rightly guided. وَيَحْزَنُ وَيَأْسَفُ عَلَى الْمُكَذِّبِينَ الضَّالِّينَ. And he used to be very sad, and he would grieve over those who, the misguided, who belied the truth. شَفَقَةً مِنْهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Out of mercy and pity from him عليه السلام concerning them. وَرَحْمَةً بِهِمْ, and mercy to them. أَرْشَدَهُ اللَّهُ أَلَّا يُشْغِلَ نَفْسَهُ بِالْأَسَفِ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. So Allah directed him not to bother not to bother and concern himself with those who do not believe in this Quran. كما قال في الآية الأخرى لعلك باقع نفسك ألا يكونوا مؤمنين. Allah says in another ayah in the Quran, perhaps you will kill yourselves. You will kill yourself that they will not be among the believers. Meaning you will become so sad that you will die from sadness that the people are not accepting faith. وقال فلا تذهب نفسك عليهم حسرات. Do not waste yourself over them in grief and in regret. وهنا قال فلعلك باقع نفسك. Here he said, perhaps you will kill yourself. أي مهلكها غما وأسفا عليهم. You will kill yourself out of grief and out of sadness over them. وذلك أن أجرك قد وجب على الله. Don't do that. Because your reward has been written with Allah. Your reward of inviting to Islam has been established with Allah. وهؤلاء لو علم الله فيهم خيرا لهداهم. And if Allah, and Allah knows, but if there were any goodness in them, that Allah knew that they had this goodness, Allah would have guided them. And this comes in another surah, Al-Anfal. وَلَوْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا لَأَسْمَعَهُمْ وَلَوْ أَسْمَعَهُمْ لَتَوَلَّوْا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Allah says another ayah in the Quran, if Allah had known there's goodness in them, not that Allah doesn't know, meaning they don't have the goodness, don't misunderstand the English sentence structure. If Allah had known goodness in them, He would have made them listen. And had He made them listen, they would have turned away while being in a state of rejection. So Allah told us that some people don't want it. They don't want the guidance. So these people, you don't grieve over them. You don't waste your time over them. You continue to try to invite them, but don't let that affect you from giving da'wah. Because you may go give da'wah, you know, to some of your family members, and they reject you. They say, Islam, it's for you, man. I don't want to be a terrorist. Thank you very much. You can become a terrorist on your own. You know, some of your funny family members say, okay. So you may, you know, feel depressed and sad and say, I'm not going to invite anyone to Islam again. You know, people are not accepting my invitation. No. Don't do that. If that person doesn't accept, then you don't know about the next person. If someone, Allah knows that there's no goodness in them, so they will not embrace the faith, that doesn't mean that you stop striving and calling to Allah, and you don't sit in your home, in your room, crying that the person has not accepted faith. You have done your job, your reward is with Allah. Your reward is with Allah. If there was goodness in them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have guided them. وَلَكِنَّهُ عَلِمَ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَصْلُحُونَ إِلَّا لِلنَّارِ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. But Allah knows that the only place befitting for them is the hellfire. فَلِذَلِكَ خَذَلَهُمْ فَلَمْ يَهْتَدُوا. Because of that, he disappointed them, يعني, in a sense, and he did not guide them. Why? Not out of oppression, don't misunderstand. Because they do not want any guidance. So we know from the Quran and the Sunnah, any human being upon earth today, even if he lives in the jungle, if he wants guidance from Allah, if he submits to Allah, to his Creator, which is something innate, you know, it doesn't require any, no one has to teach you. By human disposition, you feel the need to believe in God. If any human being was to sincerely ask Allah to guide him, Allah would guide that person. You see? But those who don't want that, then because of their rejection, Allah will allow them to remain astray. Allah will lead them astray because they have rejected faith to begin with. Not out of oppression. Because we know from the Quran, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And your Lord does not oppress anyone. Rather, Allah wanted goodness for the creation. That's why He sent the messengers, and He sent down the books, and He gave them the sight, and He gave them the hearing, and He gave them the intellect. He gave them everything they need to be guided. But if someone wants to turn away from all of that and live the life of an animal, you know, eating and drinking and reproducing, and that's it, you know, which is just the same lifestyle of an animal, and they don't want the guidance from God, they don't want the spiritual, spiritual cleanliness and things of this nature, then what are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them? Allah knows that these people are not befitting, so Allah leaves them in their own ways. SubhanAllah, the Shaykh mentioned that. Where did I get? فَلَمْ يَهْتَدُوا أَيْوَا فَأَشْغَالُكَ نَفْسَكَ أَوْ نَفْسُكَ غَمًّا وَأَسَفًا عَلَيْهِمْ لَيْسَ فِيهِ فَائِدَةٌ لَكَ. So wasting your time in grief and sadness over them has absolutely no benefit for you. وَفِي هَذِي الْآيَةِ وَنَحْوِيَا عِبْرًا. And in this ayah and others there's a lesson. فَأَنَّ الْمَأْمُورَ بِدُعَاءِ الْخَلْقِ لَلَّهِ عَلَيْهِ التَّبْلِيغِ. He who is expected to invite to Allah, the only thing that is expected of you is conveying. Your job is only to convey the message of Allah. والسعي بكل سبب يوصل الهداية, and to try and utilize every mean or everything possible to bring about guidance for the people. وسد طريق الضلال والغواية بغاية ما يمكنه. Furthermore, blocking all roads that lead to deviance and misguidance to the best of your ability. مع التوكل على الله بذلك, while relying and depending on Allah in all of these affairs. فأن اهتدوا فبها ونعمت. If they are guided, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, and it's a bounty from Allah. وإلا فلا يحزن ولا يأسف. Otherwise, don't be sad and don't grieve, don't be regretful. فإن ذلك مضعف للنفس. That will make you weak. That will weaken yourself, your soul. هادم للقوى. It will destroy your strength. ليس له فيه فائدة. There's no benefit for you in that. بل يمضي على فعله. Rather, you continue with your ways. الذي كلف به وتوجه إليه, that which has been made obligatory upon you, or that which has been assigned to you. وما عدا ذلك فهو خارج عن قدرته. Anything beyond that is beyond your ability. وإذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الله له إنك لا تهدي من أحبب. If the messenger of Allah himself, Allah told him in the Quran, you do not guide those who you love. You cannot guide those who you love, even the Messenger of Allah. وموسى عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول ربي إني لا أملك إلا نفسي وأخي. And Musa says, oh Allah, I only have myself and my brother. The only one, the only things I am in control of is myself and my brother. I don't have control over the children of Israel to make sure that they are rightly guided. فمن عداهم من باب أولى وأحرى. So anyone who comes after these two, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Moses, then of course the case with them is more so. If they could not guide the ones that they love, then what about me and you? Then naturally we cannot guide the ones that we love either. It is Allah who guides whomever wants guidance. That's the problem. Not that Allah guides whoever is like arbitrary, you know, there's no, this Allah just chooses these people to guide and he abandons others in misguidance. This is not what it is. Allah guides whoever wants to be guided. Whoever doesn't want to be guided, what are you going to do with him? He doesn't want guidance, says him. There's nothing you can do for him unless he changes his ways. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah does not change the affair of the people until they change that which is within themselves. He must change himself and want to be guided for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide him. Other than that, it doesn't work that way. فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ. So remind, verily you're only a reminder, a person who's just giving a reminder. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمُ مُسَيْطِرٍ. You have no control over them. Alhamdulillah, with that we concluded verses 1 to, actually we did 1 to 7. And so alhamdulillah we got a little extra. And yeah, we will conclude this verse with that. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.